It's a recipe as old as time itself. It never wavers. The results are guaranteed, without fail. H2O at 0 degrees Celsius or 32 degrees Fahrenheit, the result is always the same. Frozen water. Frozen water can take on many forms: snow, sleet, hail, frost, and ice, just to name a few. Over 5,000 years ago, some of the earliest people living in Northern Europe discovered it was possible to walk across frozen water rather than walking around it. And it wasn't long before some hardy and innovative Scandinavian figured out that they could save massive amounts of energy by gliding across the ice. That's when the first ice skaters appeared. Now, they certainly didn't resemble anything we recognize today. Those first skates were made of shin bones from horses, elk, or cattle, and lashed to their shoes with leather thongs. Now, because these skates didn't have edges, it was impossible to move by pushing off. So those early adopters would use long wooden poles, like a skier, to push themselves forward while keeping their feet parallel. This method hardly changed for over 3,000 years, until the Dutch, known for their skating tradition, were the first to replace the animal's shin bone with a wooden platform that would attach to their shoes. The platform had a strip of iron embedded in it. Now, for the first time, the blade would bite into the ice, allowing the skater to use his legs to push off, creating that side-to-side motion that all skaters use to this day. But skating was still used mainly for quicker transportation, allowing for a faster method of crossing frozen water in cold winter climates. That changed in 1742, when the world's first ice skating club was founded in Scotland. To be admitted as a member of the Edinburgh Skating Club, you had to be able to complete a circle on one skate and jump over three stacked hats on the ice. Quite a feat for the day. The next big advancement in ice skating came in the 1860s. American ballet dancer Jackson Haines found a way to bolt steel blades directly onto his shoes. This innovation, combined with his artistic flair, led Haines to bring music and dance to the ice. He also learned that without a toe pick, it was impossible for the blade to grab the ice, allowing enough momentum for jumps and spins. By adding the toe pick, he became known as the father of figure skating. However, there was still a problem. Once the spring temperatures melted the outdoor ice, there was no place to skate. Again, innovative minds came up with a primitive solution. Since mechanical refrigeration didn't exist, an Englishman created a chemical solution that would substitute for ice. Henry Kirk created what he called the glacerium, a massive 3,000 square foot surface covered with a 1-inch layer of copper sulfite, salts, alum, and hog lard, otherwise known as pig fat. The surface was beautiful and created the outdoor skating experience. But there was just one problem. As the room warmed up, the pig fat began to rot. Kirk's glacerium became pungent with a most unfortunate stench. Unsurprisingly, and to the relief of his neighbors, his rink closed after a few months. It was 30 years later, another Brit came up with a method to freeze water. By lining a concrete basin with cow hair for insulation, he designed a series of pipes along the bottom filled with frozen chemicals, which froze the water placed in the basin. When they did this on a larger scale, the size of an ice rink, it made a sheet of ice that didn't smell like a pigsty. But because the ice was so much colder than the air in the building, a thick, London-like fog constantly rose off the ice, making it impossible for skaters to see even a few feet in front of them, which caused predictable safety challenges. Even with all the technical challenges of ice skating, the popularity continued to build. The first inclusion of figure skating in the Olympics happened in 1908, in the Summer Games. The event was held several months after all the other competitions so that there could be cooler weather. Despite its popularity, it wasn't included in the next Olympics held in 1912 in Sweden. But after a short hiatus, figure skating was finally included in the Winter Olympics and was held in France in 1920. This brings us to one of the greatest figure skaters in the history of the sport. Sonja Henie skated for her native country, Norway. She has done something that, to this day, no other skater has ever done. Winning the gold medal in the singles competition, 3 Olympics in a row. This nearly 100-year-old record is considered the pinnacle of figure skating greatness. When Sonja finished her massive Olympic career, she came to the United States with the goal of doing on ice skates what Fred Astaire was doing on the silver screen with tap shoes. And just like in the Olympics, she delivered. She quickly became an icon of the cinema. She starred in musical comedy movies that highlighted her extraordinary, elegant, and exciting skating prowess. She starred alongside of Hollywood's leading men. At the peak of her popularity in the 1930s and 40s, she was the highest paid actress in the world, and only behind Shirley Temple and Clark Gable in box office popularity. And it's ice skating legend Sonja Henie who leads us to the next legendary chapter of this story. In 1950, Sonja was practicing for her upcoming Hollywood Ice Review. Her ice review required smooth ice. After any amount of skating, the ice would be marred and gouged by the skates and their toe picks, making it a safety and performance issue for the professional skaters. And to repair the ice typically required shovels, 3 men, and 90 minutes to restore it to a smooth surface. Of course, no audience wanted to wait through an hour and a half intermission. Enter Frank from California. Frank owned the Iceland skating rink in Paramount, where Sonja and her team were rehearsing. When the ice got gouged and rough, Frank brought a previously unseen and monstrous machine onto the ice. His new contraption was built with a Jeep chassis and hydraulic cylinders from old heavy bombers, both from surplus World War II equipment. The four-wheel drive propelled it at a brisk speed of 9 miles per hour across the ice. Now, Frank was an inventor, not a designer. So this massive contraption looked completely out of place on the ice. But under all that metal were all the necessary parts to shave, clean, wash, and seal the ice with a new layer that was hard, clear, and smooth. Best of all, instead of taking 90 minutes, Frank's contraption could do a better job in under 15 minutes. Now, Frank didn't exactly have a sales boom going for his new machine. In fact, he had sold just one. To himself. For his own rink. But Sonja Henie was sold immediately. She didn't just want one. She demanded that one be ready for the opening of her tour in Chicago. Now, because Frank's machine was so large, he had to modify it so it could be shipped by train. When the audience came to Henie's Hollywood Ice Review, it was difficult to tell what they enjoyed more, the elegant skating or the huge ice machine that miraculously surfaced the ice so quickly. From Chicago to London, Frank's machine now caught the attention of the skating world. It became a high-tech spectacle, and before long, Frank's invention was not only seen on ice rinks around the world, it became the standard of the industry that continues to this day. Charles Schulz, the creator of the cartoon Peanuts, was a massive hockey fan. He even owned his own rink. He was so mesmerized by Frank's machine that he featured it prominently in many of his comic strips, with Charlie Brown driving the machine. This raised Frank's invention to even greater heights and legendary pop culture fame. Today, every ice rink resurfacing machine is referred to as a Zamboni. It's become so famous that its name now represents the entire category. So next time you go to a hockey game or ice show and see Frank Zamboni's innovation circling around the inside of the rink, you can recall the words of Charles Schulz.
There are three things in life that people like to stare at: a flowing stream, a crackling fire, and a Zamboni going round and round and round.
And as it circles, you can recall with wonder all the innovators whose thinking and tinkering have evolved from those early Scandinavians strapping carcass bones to leather moccasins to the beautiful smooth sheets of ice today, courtesy of Frank Zamboni. Innovation, pass it on, from passiton.com. If you enjoyed this bite-sized podcast, subscribe and pass it on to a friend. PassItOn.com, the podcast, is available wherever you listen to podcasts.